Now, I know many of you have already accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, which means when you accept Him as Savior, you have a redemption that takes place. There's forgiveness. Great. But let me ask you, have you accepted Him as Lord? See, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. To receive Him not only as Savior, but as Lord. You see, who's Lord in your life is the one to whom you have given total authority.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. There's a term people are using a lot. It's called herd mentality. Basically, it's when people conform to those around them. They just go along with the herd. Well, today Pastor Wayne is going to walk us through the lives of several men and women in the Bible who stood out from the rest of the crowd. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Herd.
Today we're going to be up on a hill, a mountain in Mark chapter 9. Jesus is going to go up there and He takes three of His disciples with Him, probably the inner core disciples, Peter, James, and John. We're going to read about it and let's see what happens and let's apply it to us on this hill at New Hope West. Would you read it with me out loud with your nice thespian Shakespearean voices?
Low, please.
Would you read it with me? Go. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with Him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There He was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let's put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is My Son, whom I love. Listen to Him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. They're on a mountain, three disciples accompanying Jesus, and Elijah and Moses appears. Elijah probably represented the prophets and Moses the law. So it's like the law and the prophets of the Old Testament with Jesus ushering in the New Testament. Everything is right there and they're discussing things. And He was transfigured, which means all of a sudden He turns into light. The Bible says God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. So probably His true visage was shown to these Peter, James, and John, the disciples. So then they're realizing this is the Son of God. Well, they're so excited. They say to Jesus, "Let's just build three little houses, mini houses here. Let's just stay here. Let's just freeze dry this moment because we want it to continue. We just don't want to leave here." And all of a sudden there's a voice. "This is My beloved Son. Listen to Him, whatever He says." Everything then clears, the smoke clears, and Jesus then speaks. He says, "Let's go down into the valley." So the three disciples follow Him. And when they get to the bottom of this valley, they encounter a problem that none of the disciples could deal with. They couldn't handle it. There was a demon-possessed boy. They couldn't cast out the demon. They just didn't know what to do. And I looked at that and I thought, there's a situation they can't cope with. It was like they were on the mountain. They were just high on the hog. And then they're down here in the valley. They don't know what to do. Listen, His followers, His disciples, weren't able to translate the mountaintop experience to the problems in the valley below. Did you get that? The disciples couldn't translate the mountaintop experience to the problems in the valley below. You see, it's fairly easy to follow Christ up on this hill, on this mountain, on Bailey Hill. Because here at church, everybody loves you. You notice that? Everybody's kind to you. There's free snacks. Some of you have taken two or three. I've been watching. There's a camera. Free coffee. You don't hear crusty language over here. There's no questionable humor, unless you're referring to my jokes. It's pretty easy to be nice up here. Pretty easy to follow Jesus up here, to be devoted. But soon, soon you got to go home. Soon you got to go to the same address. You're going to the same neighbor, same family. Yeah, the same problems. Soon you're going to go off this hill to the same job, same campus, same school. So the real question comes into play, and the question is this: can you translate the lessons on this hill that you experienced on this mountain to the valley below? Can you be a witness for Christ when you go home? It's easy here. Can you live for Christ at your family's location, at your job, on your campus when you leave here? Because you see, the current is going the other way in the valley. The herd is moving you in a different direction. But can you be a witness for Christ and go upstream when you need to? You want to know the most important part of the service? As wonderful as the music is, and I think we've got the best worship in the country here. Don't you agree? It's just, gosh. Yeah, you can't find this, you know, like in Nashville. This is just great. All of these, it's all live, you know, stuff here. It's amazing. But the most important part of the service isn't the worship. As wonderful as it is and as powerful as it is, it's not the music. It's not the videos or even the message. The most important part of the service is right there, when you leave those doors. Because therein lies the test of whether or not you can translate the lessons on this hill to the problems in the valley below. That's when God deposits something into your heart that you carry, and you're different when you leave those doors. That's the most important part of the service. Because it's fairly easy to follow Jesus on the hill. But where the test is, will you follow him there in the valley? Now, let me level with you. It's not easy to be a Christian in the valley. And it's going to be harder still as the days go by. I mean, to really be a New Testament Christian, I mean. Because the current is going against you. There's peer pressure, the pressure to conform. The herd is moving in a certain way. And sometimes you've got to go upstream from that. It's easy when everything is going well. There's a story about Tonto and the Lone Ranger. They were lifelong friends, as you know, committed to each other. But one day, they were riding through this canyon. And when they look up, they're circled by Indians with war paint. And the Lone Ranger turns to Tonto and says, "Tonto, we've been friends our whole life. But I'm sad to say, this is the end for us." And Tonto looked at the Lone Ranger and said, "What do you mean, us, Paleface?" You're going to be tested in your commitment, in your devotion. That's why the scripture says in the book of Romans, don't be conformed to the world, the herd, but be ye transformed, go upstream, by the renewing of your mind so that you'll know what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And I love the Living Bible. It says this: don't let the world press you into its own mold. I like that. Because see, the world is a mold, and it's forcing every single one of you young ladies, young men at the schools, at the campus. There'll be a pressure by your atheist professor when they belittle your faith because they don't follow your faith. And they'll devalue you in what you believe in. Can you stand for Christ in the valley below? It's easy up on the hill. But can you do it in the valley below? What are you going to do when the chips are down, when you're surrounded? Jesus said to his disciples, "I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to die." And when he said that, many of his followers followed him no more. They came to that box canyon. But you see, the Bible says it this way: if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Let him, what was the first one? Deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. What does it mean to deny yourself? Does that mean when you pass by an ice cream stand, you say, I'm going to forego that ice cream? No, it might, but really what it is when you deny yourself, it's the flesh part of you that says, I want to be popular and I want to be accepted, so I'm going to go with the herd, even though I know it's wrong. You deny that self part of you that says, I want to be liked and I want everyone to accept me. I want to look good. Deny that. Take up your cross, because there's going to be times that God might call you to a pretty tough calling, to stand up for him, to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When a friend says, what, where do you go on Sundays? Sometimes, they'll ask you, let's go, do something on Sunday. I go to church. What? I go to church. What? I go to church. Why? My mom makes me do it. Instead, we need to say, hey, we're going to church. It's cowboy church. Why don't you come with me? I'll pick you up. And it might change them. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. You have to remember that it's often easier to preach the cross than it is to carry it. It's easier to talk about the cross, pray about the cross, sing about the cross, but it's tough to carry it. And Jesus said, if you desire to follow me, you got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and then you're able to follow me. Will you follow him all the way? You'll have to make that decision. Joseph made that decision. He was sold as a slave into Egypt by his brothers. He gets sold as a slave to Potiphar, one of the biggies in the Egyptian army. Everything was going good until along came Mrs. Potiphar. Ooh, big boy. And she allures him, and he says, no, I can't. I'm not going to go in with you. No. How could I sin against my God? What? I remember I was in this grocery store, and this cute little girl was there, I was buying something. It was at the coast here at Florence, and she looked up and she said, I get off at 7. And I looked at her and I said, wait a minute. I said, you got a ring on your finger. You're a married woman. I can't believe you're doing that. And she, I wanted to just, start preaching to her, but I chickened out. And as far as I could go. But I thought, the world is going to be so forward. How much more should we? We should do that. We should be forward for Jesus. Because if they're forward for the world, why shouldn't we be for Jesus? I think if those that are like different kind of alternate life kind of people have parades, I think we should have parades for Jesus. We should have a parade and say hallelujah for the King. But the Lord is saying, you need to be willing to follow me. So Joseph says, how could I sin against God? I'm not going to do it. Potiphar's wife got really upset. And instead of rewarding him, she had him thrown in jail. But he followed God all the way to the end. God raised him up. And then he influences his city. He influences his nation. And then he actually influences the future of his people. I think, wow, he made the right decision. Daniel had to make that decision to follow God. An edict was sent forth that said, you can no longer pray in public. Does that sound familiar? And the Bible says Daniel kept praying, opened his windows, kept praying 3 times a day. Well, someone reported him as being someone that's defacing the state's commands. He was then ordered to be thrown into the lion's den. Now, he goes into the lion's den. He doesn't know if God is going to help him or not. He's just faithful to the end. He's figuring he's going to die. But God closes the mouths of the lions. The next morning, the king peeks in, and Daniel is still alive. The king is so flabbergasted, he changes his edict and says, if you don't worship Daniel's God, you're going to get thrown into the lion's den. The tables were flipped, and I thought, wow, because one man made a choice to stand for God all the way to the end in the valley below. Listen, if we're going to change this city in the next decade, this state, this nation in the next decade, then this generation has to make a commitment and has to have a devotion that no other generation has made. This generation right here, all of us. People that are alive today, that's this generation. Paul the Apostle had to make a choice. He stood up for the Lord. Let me tell you what happened. I'll read it to you. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been on the move. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst, and I've often gone without food. And he actually lists more of the consequences and the price that he paid. But at the end, he says, boy, it was worth it all. Because today, half of the New Testament came through the pen of the Apostle Paul. And he has influenced millions of people. Why? Because he was willing to follow Christ all the way through the finish line. Question, will you follow him? Will you follow him all the way? Now, I know many of you have already accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, which means when you accept him as Savior, you have a redemption that takes place. There's forgiveness. Great. But let me ask you, have you accepted him as Lord? Is there a difference? Absolutely. See, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. To receive him not only as Savior, but as Lord. You see, who's Lord in your life is the one to whom you have given total authority to govern your attitudes, your words, your perspective, how you feel, how you think, everything about you. Have you given Jesus Christ total authority over the totality of your life? Because that's who your Lord is. We say, what are you talking about? You see, who's Lord in your life is the one who is going to determine whether your day is a success or not, not the circumstances. Well, if it's a good day, then it's a good day, right? If it's a bad day, it's a bad day. No, no. Who's determining whether it's a good day or a bad day, the Lord or the circumstances? Who's your Lord is who determines your attitude. Well, it's what that guy said to me. Oh, so you've made him Lord, huh? Because he's determining your countenance. He's determining your words. That guy's mistake, that guy's belittling of you, that guy's devaluing of you has caused you to see yourself poorly. That guy's become your Lord. Who's your Lord? There's only one Lord and one Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. Not your professor, not your teacher, not the herd, not the peer pressure to conform. There is one Savior and one Lord. And you may have received him as Savior, but some of you need to receive him now as Lord. Because he alone will be able to be with you in the valley to turn and help you to go upstream when you need to. Let me bring it all together in a story of a true story of a missionary couple. This man came from a very wealthy, wealthy family and got married to his sweetheart in Bible college. But at one service, he received a call from God to go to the mountains of Tibet as a missionary. And so they felt that so strongly, this couple left the U.S., the East Coast where they lived, and they went to Tibet, went up into the mountains, learned the language, and lived in poverty with the people. There, in the mountains of Tibet, they had 2 children, but a plague broke out, and both their children died, and he buried both of them there. 2 years later, his wife got deathly ill. And finally, he went to the tribespeople and said, we have to leave. I've got to get my wife to the mission hospital. And it's a 3-day journey down the river. So he carried his wife into a boat and started down the river. But on the 2nd day, she said to her husband, whose name is John, she said, John, I can't go anymore. I'm done. I can't go any further. He took the boat to the side, carried her out, laid her down on the ground, She said, John, I need to tell you something. He bent down, she whispered into his ear, and within minutes, she had passed away. He buried his wife right there, and he'd already buried his other two children. He pulled his canoe back into the middle of the river. And all of a sudden, he turned it around and started heading back up the river to the mountains in Tibet. He could have gone home to a beautiful estate and lived in comfort the rest of his life. But when his wife spoke, she said, John, go back and finish the work that God has called us to do. God might call some of you to a hard place, to deny yourself, to take up his cross and go to the valley, go off the hill, not halfway, all the way. And again, I've got to level with you. It's not going to be easy. But I'm going to ask you, will you take a stand for Jesus? Take a stand for him on your campus when it's not popular, at your job, when the others are going the other way. When your teacher denies Christ, will you take a stand? When they belittle your faith at your school, when the herd says, go another way, will you trust him like Joseph did? Because if we're going to change our city in this next decade, if we're going to change our nation in this next decade, then this generation has to have a commitment and a devotion that no other generation has had before. And God has called us here, and we need to make a difference. In closing, let me ask you. Some of you, you need to find Jesus to be your Savior. And some of you need to accept him and submit to him as Lord. But let's make this moment in the service one of the most important. I'm going to ask you to make the most eternal decision that you'll ever make in your life. And that is to receive him as Savior and Lord. Let's make a difference. Can you say amen to that? Let's make a difference in this decade. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here today and you say, that's a decision I must make. It's a choice that Joseph made, a choice Daniel made, a choice Paul made, a choice that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made. It's a choice that I shall make today. I want to ask you to make that choice. If that's you today and you say, I want to make that choice, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord, as my Savior. If that's you right now, would you raise a hand? And in doing so, you're saying yes. Okay, yeah, Jesus sees the heart also. Yep, you too. Yep, Lord sees those. Yep, over there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. Lord sees those hands. I'm just going to wait for just a moment. If Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart, as Revelation 3 says, open that door. Say yes to him. The Bible says, behold, today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week. Right now, he's as close to you as you'll ever find him. And he's knocking at the door of your heart. If that's you, raise a hand. You're saying, yes. Okay, yeah, the Lord sees that. Yep, you too. Yeah, the Lord sees that. You too. Yeah, good. Yeah, yep, so many. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And then Sam's going to come out and do a final song. But would you repeat this prayer after me? Would you repeat this prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and you died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Change me. Make me the person you created me to be. I turn from my sins and I turn to you. And I receive you as my Savior and Lord. And I will stand for you, commit myself to you, and walk with you. So now I say this so everyone can hear, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to him. In Jesus' name I pray. Father, that's the cry of our hearts. Thank you so much for keeping us close to you. And when we stray, thank you for bringing us back home. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And we say together, hey, welcome these who said yes to Jesus, would you?
even listening to a message entitled The Herd by Pastor Wayne Cordero. We trust has been a blessing to you today. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.